Good morning, everyone. Today, after many years of training, both theological and practical, we'll appoint Colton to the office of elder through the laying on of hands. We'll formally bring him onto our elder team through this God-ordained ritual. Before we do that, though, I want to say a few words about pastoral ministry from Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And let me set the context on that. In Acts 20, Paul gathers and speaks directly to the elders of the church in Ephesus. And this section is known as a farewell address because Paul tells these men about his upcoming departure. He exhorts them to do certain things in his absence, and he warns them about troubles that will come. Paul knew that he would never see these men again, and so he prepared them to serve the church of God faithfully in his absence. And so these words, once spoken to the elders of Ephesus so long ago, now show all elders what we are called to be and do as we pastor the churches where we serve today. Again, the specific text we're going to focus on this morning is Acts 20, verse 28. But to set the context, let's read Acts 20. I'll start at verse 17, and I'll read all the way through to verse 32. Acts 20, verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the church. We thank you for sending your Son to redeem us and to bring us together. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy and the strength that we derive from it. Thank you for gathering sinners saved by grace so that we can remind each other about your forgiveness and your mercy and your kindness to us. We thank you for the spiritual gifts in the church and the proclamation of your word in the church. We thank you for the prayers of the church, the leaders that you raise up in the church, and especially for the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and we ask for your blessing upon this service and the future ministry of Colton. Please strengthen him for the work that you've called him to. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's look again at verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So, Colton, I have 4 points drawn from this text that I want you to meditate on, all right? And church, please overhear this conversation in order to know what you ought to expect from your spiritual leaders and also to hear of God's great love for you. So point number one, pay careful attention to yourself. Point number two, pay careful attention to all the flock. Point number three, remember that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer to care for the church of God. And point number four, remember that the church was obtained with his own blood. So let's consider these points one at a time. Point number one, pay careful attention to yourself. Paul instructs the elders to be watchful in two areas, and he begins with self-watch. So elders must be attentive to the state of their own souls. The word translated as pay careful attention means to be on guard or to keep watch. Elders are to give attention to their own personal walk with God. They are to be aware of personal temptations and distractions and to make sure to guard against them. They must exercise watchfulness, remain steadfast in prayer, be often in God's word, and not neglect their own spiritual condition. And I want you to notice the order. Before the apostle tells the elders in Ephesus to care for the church, he first tells them of the necessity of watching over their own souls. The order matters. The order really matters. If a man cannot watch over his own soul, how can he be trusted to watch over the souls of those under his care? And so, Colton, if you will protect the church, you must first protect your own personal spiritual condition. As a pastor, you are to lead not just in teaching, but by example. Before you teach the scriptures, make sure to read and apply the word in your own heart and life. Before you lead us in prayer, diligently seek the Lord in your own prayer life. Before you lay the commands of Scripture upon us, make sure that you're obeying them yourself. And before you call us to trust God and repent of our sins, make sure that you're doing the same, because hypocrisy in these matters will make you ineffective. And before I leave this point, let me also say this. Self-watch does not mean that you're alone in this. Paul gave this command to a group of elders from Ephesus, and even now, this present charge is given to you among a group of elders. We will help you. We'll hold you accountable. We'll speak words of grace and encouragement to you. And furthermore, you've got a church here that's going to pray for you regularly. Isn't that right, church? We'll make sure to bring you before the throne of grace. Point number two, pay careful attention to all the flock. Pay careful attention to all the flock. Now we come to that second area of attentiveness. Elders must watch over the state of their own souls, and they must watch over all the flock. And this twofold responsibility is repeated in Paul's first letter to Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 4:16. "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." Now, the metaphor in Acts 20 is that of a shepherd with sheep. And so let's translate the shepherding analogy that we're given here. Let's think about what this means in real life for the church. Faithful shepherds watch over their flock by, 1, feeding them, by, 2, leading them, and, 3, protecting them from predators. All right, so how do faithful shepherds feed the flock? What does that look like? Well, feeding the flock it's primarily about teaching the Bible. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The flock needs the food of Scripture, and so faithful shepherds will teach and apply the Bible and thereby provide the nourishment which believers need to grow in the Lord. How do faithful shepherds lead the flock? Well, this responsibility is carried out by being a living example. Shepherds lead the way by living lives which are worth following, and it also involves decision-making and oversight, providing clear direction for the life and ministry of the church. And how do faithful shepherds protect the flock? Well, the flock needs protection from dangers both inside and outside the church. The dangers to the church are not only external, but also internal. As you know, sin has a way of spreading, and it must be confronted. Faithful shepherds will call out sin among the people and be willing to go through the difficult process of church discipline when needed. Faithful shepherds will also beware of those who spread lies and gossip, and they'll be ready to rebuke and admonish. Faithful shepherds will also watch over the church by discerning attacks from the outside. Pastors must recognize worldliness and false teaching and protect the church by addressing these things with the Word of God. And when false teachers arise, they must be corrected or put out. And in all these matters, faithful shepherds must give themselves to prayer. Pastors need time with God and wisdom from God. And so, Colton, if you're going to be useful to the church at all, you must give yourself to prayer. Pray for the people of the church. Pray for the ministries of the church. Pray for the spread of the gospel. Pray that God would work in and through us, because without Him, we can do nothing. And so watch over the church by praying for it. Point number three, remember that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer to care for the church of God. Now, if you study other sections of Scripture, you'll find that people are involved in the process of appointing elders. There are character qualities that have to be evaluated by others. Potential elders must prove that they're able to teach, and other men appoint them through the laying on of hands. And yet here in Acts 20:28, Paul speaks of their appointment to this office not as a human activity, but a divine activity that's carried out by the third person of the Holy Trinity. And so Paul recognized that behind this process of testing and choosing and appointing men to the office of elder, they were being led by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit who gives the gifts to serve in this office. And it's the Spirit who works in men so that they meet the biblical qualifications. It's the Spirit who enables others to recognize these gifts and qualifications. And it's the Spirit of God who in His providence guides and directs people to serve in specific local churches. Alexander Strauch in his book, Biblical Eldership, put it this way. He said, Paul reminds the elders that it was God the Holy Spirit who made them overseers for the express purpose of pastoring the flock. Thus, these men are overseers by divine placement, initiative, and design. Although human means were not excluded from the process, the placement was ultimately made by a divine person, God the Holy Spirit. So, as God's overseers, the elders must guard the church with their lives. To do anything less would be to disobey the one who ultimately appointed them. So Colton, as you serve this church, remember that this is a divine calling. Remember, as we lay hands on you and appoint you to this office, that behind the scenes, the Holy Spirit of God has been orchestrating your life and the life of this church to bring us to this very moment. It's not mere men who appoint you to this office, but the Holy Spirit. Remembering this truth will give you the strength and endurance that you need when pastoral ministry becomes difficult. And point number four, remember that the church was obtained with His own blood. Now, the previous point emphasized the weight of an elder's appointment, and this point emphasizes the value of the church in God's sight. Paul highlights the value of the church by reminding them of what God was willing to give in order to obtain the church. We were bought at the price of Christ's own blood. What more could God give? God loves the church with infinite love. And so the pastoral idea in this text is this. Elders are to appreciate the way that God views the local church by taking the death of Christ into account, and this will motivate them to faithfully watch over the souls of these precious people. And so, Colton, you have to remember that Jesus Christ Himself died and rose again for the people that you are charged to watch over. The very Son of God gave his lifeblood for these people. They are precious in his sight. Always remember the worth that they have in God's sight, the immense value that God himself places upon them, and let that reality fuel your pastoral care for them. Listen again as Strzok expands on this very point. Paul further stressed the magnitude of the worth of the church of God by the clause, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The price one is willing to pay for an object demonstrates its value. For the church, God gave his only son as a sin-bearing sacrifice. The son bled and died for the church. How could God have paid more for his church? He has paid an incalculable price. How much God must love the church. How much it must mean to him when his chosen elders earnestly care for his blood-bought children. What an immense honor it is to shepherd the church of God. It is a most serious matter when a pastor/elder is inattentive to the needs of the church of God, yet this remains a common worldwide problem. I am convinced that one of the key reasons elders neglect the congregation is that they fail to comprehend the value of the church of God and fail to appreciate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When men grasp the eternal value of God's flock and the nearly unimaginable price paid for our salvation, they should be inspired to commit their lives wholeheartedly to caring for the church of God. And so, Colton, may God bless you, your family, and your ministry to RBC. And may God bless you as you serve among us. And may God furthermore bless you as he directs your steps in the future. Amen. All right, at this time, I'll ask the elders and Colton to come up front so we can appoint Colton.